Yeah, nothing against you. It's just we don't like you.
Live from the basement, it's Building a Better Dave. Check us out at betterdave.com. Email us at dave@betterdave.com. Or call in your comments, 888-563-3228. Now, here's your host, Dave Jackson.
All right, welcome to Building a Better Dave. I'm your host, Dave, from the School of Podcasting.com. If you're new to the show, this is just kind of the open mic, open mind. Dave speaks his mind, tries to be entertaining. And today is kind of a thinking show. And it's going to sound like a pity party, but it is an investigation. So let me explain a couple things here. Here's what has inspired this. If you're new to the show, at one point I was in school to be a pastor. And in addition to other things, I had some minor legal issues. I was trying to lead a church that had been doing the same thing for about 15 years that had led no young people to the church. And I got to fill in for the pastor once, and they said, hey, that was really good. That led to me going to school. And they wanted me to revive the church, but they wanted me to revive the church by doing the exact same thing in the exact same way. They'd been doing it for 15 years that had not revived the church at all. And it was slowly dying to the point where I just had to leave, because my favorite was they wanted to know if after I did a sermon, if they could sit down and critique it. And I said, absolutely, as long as we can have a chair for the Holy Spirit, because that's the guy that's given it to me. Which I thought was funny, because I'd mentioned, like, I did a sermon on new and improved, and how, you know, we're all, you know, the new iPod is out now. It's gold and silver. Ooh, right? So we're all going to stand in line to get it. And the Bible says that, you know, we are reborn. We are transformed. And in theory, we shouldn't really be that hooked on to the big shiny objects, because we got one big shiny object and it comes when we die. And so I talked about an iPod in my sermon, held one up, knowing that a good 80% of the audience had no idea what an iPod was, because their average age is 70. And it's interesting, because the guy that is now there is older and talks about Facebook all the time. And I'm like, wait a minute. When I said that, they went, you need to understand who your audience is. But because he's older, and maybe because he has a beard, it's okay for him. But in the end, yeah, we just really don't, you know, I got the vibe that they just weren't digging what I was up to. Okay. Now, this one doesn't count, but it still bugs me. My dad's got Alzheimer's. Last time I saw him, which was a while ago, because I'm a coward, I don't feel like going back to take one to the privates. Didn't remember who I was. That is not fun. Understandable completely. Still not fun, because there's that stupid little voice in the back of your head that goes, well, you didn't make much of an impression now, did you? Completely stupid. Understandably just dumb. Doesn't matter. The voice is still going to, you know, you're like, what? Because, and I don't know why that is. When I was growing up, I've always wanted to be liked, to the point where by the time I got to seventh grade, it was like, if you don't like me, then screw you. It was a weird thing, right? Because I'll just sit in the basement and play guitar all night. I don't need you. And so my dad doesn't remember who I am. Okay, got it. He gets a pass. If you've listened to the show, my brother does not like my wife. And the fact that I chose to avoid family outings because I wasn't allowed to bring my wife, they got mad. They're like, what do you mean? You just leave her at home. And I went, that's not the way marriage works. And there's some big misunderstandings here. And I was always raised that family sits down, you talk it out, you hug it out, you forgive each other, because in the end, you're all on the same team and you all love each other. And here's what I've found. Nobody, or not everybody, thinks like I do. And that doesn't mean I'm always right, but it's just, there are things like, I don't know, that'd be like arguing against ice cream. Who doesn't like ice cream? Right? So to me, I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't want to work it out between people? You know, okay. So I guess they don't think like I do. And it's hard not to take it personal when it's personal. That we don't like this about you. Okay. It's kind of who I am, you know? So, okay, right. So just go away is what, just go, okay. I'll just go away. And when I was 16 or 15 even, my goal has always been, if I leave something, I want to create a vacuum. I remember I was a paper boy. And I wanted the person that had to take over my route to go, dang, I got some big shoes to fill. When I was the editor of the student newsletter, the person that took over, I wanted them to go, man, I got some quality writing to do here. And for the most part, I thought it was okay. When I left, you know, being a grocery person, you know, that was something where people, wow, that's going to be hard to fill the shoes there. Or whatever job I left, I want to leave an impression. I want people to go, man, I want that guy on my team. I want to work with that guy. So I you know, and now about, I don't know, 6-7 months ago, my wife and I started a podcast called Healing Our Marriage. We've been through enough marriage therapy that we thought, you know, let's just try some on our own. It's an unscripted podcast. Let's just talk out loud. And maybe if we let other people hear us, maybe they can learn something too. And I've been told that originally we're going to read a book and just talk about it together. But I was always looking at it as a podcast. You know, make sure that the audience is getting something out of it. Make sure I'm somehow educating them. It's the teacher in me. Make sure they learn something. Make sure it's, you know... And I've been told that she doesn't want to do it anymore because it's not meeting her expectations, which is understandable. We kind of thought it was going to be this sharing about our marriage, and I keep trying to make it into a podcast. And so here again, nothing personal. I just don't want to work with you. And this is where I go, well, no, I'm just trying to make this better. And we can help people, and we can, you know, we actually had really pretty decent numbers for a brand new podcast. We were new and notable, and also, but that's not what she wanted. It was supposed to be about our marriage, not about helping other people's marriages and things like that. Okay. But she doesn't think like I do. And that doesn't mean I'm right, and doesn't mean she's wrong. I always try to then, let's get together, let's see if we can make adjustments and see if we can come up with a win-win. And here again, I've been told, no, that's okay. If you could just go away in this instance of our lives, we're just going to let that thing die. And I'm like, really? So the one that really spawned this thought to where I'm kind of like smelling my armpits going, is there something wrong with me? We went to I go to this mega church now, right? So I left the little baby church and found this mega church. I just love. To me, it's what church is supposed to be about. It's about going out into your community, finding where they're hurting, giving to them, and growing the church in a non-judgmental way. You want to come into church with pink hair and ripped up jeans? God love you. Come on in. right? Jesus hung out with the worst dudes on the planet. Come on in. And so we go there, and they have a whole sermon on it's better together. It's better together. You know, don't do it over text messages. Don't do it online. Get face to face with people like we did back in the old days. It's real connections. All right, cool. And they leave the service early. You go out and they have all these connection groups. And we're like, cool. What are they? They have one on marriage. I'm like, cool. We still need to tweak the marriage a little bit. So let's go to this. Maybe we can actually turn that into the podcast. Again, I'm thinking in the back of my head because, you know, never say die. And we sign up for this thing. I get a call a week before. And it's a youngin, right? She's 20 something, and her husband are running this group on the art of marriage, and you know, want to get to know each other because it's better together. Let's connect. Let's talk to each other. Let's connect, right? So, well, talking, you know, that's actually something I'm pretty good at, and I'm explaining how I was, you know, pastor in training, and the church didn't really work for me because, you know, I was trying to do things that would attract younger people, and they wanted to do church the way they've always done it, which doesn't bring any young people. So I explained that whole story, explained how I used to be. I said, I'm really looking forward to being in this group because I can't really be in too many groups because my church is an hour away. My church is an hour away. That's how good it is. And I used to be in the band, but my background is a musician. I'm kind of used to having fairly structured practices. You show up at 7, you know what songs you're going to play, you bust them out, you tweak anything you need to tweak, work on some backup vocals, you call it a day, and you're done. Well, their practices weren't like that. And I know it's kind of funny because, you know, musicians are somewhat known for being, you know, getting up around the crack of 3, et cetera, et cetera. But it was kind of like I would have to get home from work, grab my stuff, and fly to church to get there on time, only to like have it not start till later. Then have it not be like, oh yeah, we're changing the songs, and they didn't have music. A lot of times it was like, yeah, just find it on YouTube. And I'm like, really? We can't find songs that we have, you know, you can't give me like an audio copy of it or a link to a YouTube or no, you'll find it, you know, and then you get there and you find out that you learned it in the wrong key. It just wasn't the most structured thing I've ever done. Well, I say this to this youngin who's running the marriage group. It turns out she's in the band. Well, I didn't say the band was awful. I love the music at this church. It's awesome. And their practices just, in my opinion, could be a little tidier. Well, here's the thing. Apparently, I'm the only person that thinks that. Nobody else thinks like me in that instance. And so I talked to her the day we connect, we're chatting, we're talking about God and the Lord and the fact that I, you know, blah, 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 and everything's cool. Yeah. Can't wait to meet you. This is going to be great. I'm so happy that we got into this group. Yeah. Saturday before it goes on, it does on a Sunday. Got a call from the head, like connect group people who says nothing personal, Dave, but the young leader of this, the woman, you make her uncomfortable. What? Yeah, you make her uncomfortable. And I'm like, did I make a joke or something? I'm like, and you're replaying them. I'm like, I talked about the fact that Don John movie about porn I thought was disgusting. I didn't see it, but just the concept that the guy goes, I go to church and I love my porn. I'm like, I thought that was a little, I found that odd that people are just accepting that, you know. So we had that discussion. So we had a small 30-second tangent about how a movie about porn was bad, in my opinion. But I told you what I told you. The band was a little, you know, dysfunctional at times, and you know, yeah, I make her uncomfortable, and that was it. I dissed the band that she sings in. So apparently she thought I was, and I'm like, no, love the band, love the talent. A little more organization would have been cool. And she thought, and this is the one I don't get. She thought I still went to my old church and I was trying to get young people from the new church to go to the old church. And I'm like, I have no idea where she got that. Couldn't be further. I'm like, no, I'm a member of that church now. I am a member of church too. If I'm bringing anybody to any church, I'm bringing it to church too. And I kind of had to get the guy on the phone. I'm like, look, let's not pretend here. What's the real story here? You're not going to hurt my feelings. And he just said, yeah, that was basically it. And somehow that made her uncomfortable. And she was afraid I was going to take over the class. And I'm like, really? And I guess this was one of her first classes, you know, that she was going to be the leader of with her husband. And they were afraid I was going to take over because I like to talk. And I'm like, now, here's the fun thing. Nurses make horrible patients and teachers make horrible students. But if you know going in that you're going to be a horrible student, I can keep myself in check, kind of. And I thought in reality, with a marriage group where you're supposed to kind of talk out, not everybody may want to talk about their marriage in public. I got experience in that. Yeah. And apparently nobody else thinks like me. And I was like, and it was like, yeah, don't take this personal. And I felt like going, how the hell am I not supposed to take it personal when you're going, yeah, nothing against you. It's just, we don't like you. Now they didn't say that, but we don't, what is it again I did? And I kept saying, I'm trying to understand what I did so I don't do it in the future. And this is the Dave Jackson thing that gets me in trouble. Okay. I'm open to the idea that I actually did something wrong. I'm like, okay, obviously if I made somebody uncomfortable, that's a reality. That is real. She's uncomfortable. I'm not here to try to talk her out of being uncomfortable. I want to understand, what did I do to make you uncomfortable so I cannot do it again in the future? And where I'm normally a very laid-back person, I hear this from my IT staff, that there are other teachers. Like, we had this one teacher that was doing a class and it was online, so you only need one computer. And it was a class on, like, whatever, Office 2010. And he goes in there and he's got Office 2007. And he freaked when all he had to do was go down the hall and get a computer with Office 2010 in and plug it in. And so what I've heard from my IT staff is, you know, you tend to roll with the punches. We're glad that you're laid back. And that when life throws you a curveball, you just kind of go with it. And I'm like, that's what I thought I was. I thought I was a go with the flow kind of guy. But what happens is, when they say, yeah, nothing personal, you just make me uncomfortable. Okay. The teacher in me goes, okay, I don't understand this. I want to understand this. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions because I really want to know what I did wrong. Now, in doing this, this is a very calm, there's no hand waving, just, can you tell me exactly what I did wrong here? And that's when he said, well, you talked about the band, and somehow she thought you were trying to take youngins. And I just want to go, really? Because I don't think that's what I was doing. But I'm like, okay, because that's a fact. That's what she thought. That is her reality. But it was very weird to have somebody go, yeah, nothing personal. We just don't want you in our church group. And now my wife is saying, you know, you got us kicked out of a church group. And I'm like, dang. And it's hard because behind the scenes, behind the microphone, I'm not exactly, you know, if I look in the drawers here, I don't have an overabundance of self-esteem lying around to where I can let people come in and whack me in the nuts with a wiffle ball bat. And I go, oh, that's okay. We're cool. And some of this stuff is just like, excuse me, Mr. Jackson. Yes. And you turn and whap. I feel like I'm on America's Funniest Home Videos. And they go, nothing personal. Just needed to whack you in the nuts. Okay. So the problem now is, because I think I'm this helpful, kind of funny, sarcastic, caring person who likes to help people. And I'm doing stuff now going, oh, was I just a douche? Was I just, I went to this meetup for WordPress people. WordPress is a software thing. I never get to go to these things. I'm always doing something. It's always on a night I couldn't go. And so I went to this thing. It was actually pretty cool. And there was a woman here who was trying to do something on her website. And she goes, I need a new header. And I said, are you going to outsource that? And she goes, no. And I go, oh, you're going to do it yourself? Yeah, I don't really know if I have the tools for that. I go, oh, let me tell you about this. Check out Pixlr, PIXLR.com. It's like Photoshop in the cloud and it's free. And the guys pulled it up. And there was this one guy who's like Uber coder man was like, wow, this is really cool. And then she was like, oh, wow, I'll have to try that out. And I helped her by speaking up. And by speaking up, I literally walked out of the meeting going, I hope they don't think I'm a douche because I helped them. Was that wrong? I'm like second guessing myself now. It's so weird that when you think what you're doing is okay and what you think you're doing is like, you know, but I guess the problem is like with this thing where I made her uncomfortable, I asked him, I'm like, well, what was this? Okay. So this made her feel this way. Why did she feel this? Now, again, I'm sure it feels like I'm trying to get them to understand that they shouldn't feel uncomfortable. I'm just trying to understand what I did wrong. The teacher in me wants to learn. It's Kaizen, I believe is what the Chinese call it. Constant improvement. I want to understand. And there's probably something where there's a miscommunication on both parts. And in this case, obviously the biggest miscommunication was I was trying to steal young people from this church to go to the old church. And I'd be like, no. And that's where even that I'm going, why am I getting a call from their boss? If you're a leader of a group, shouldn't you have the cojones to call this person and talk it out? And just like with my brother, you sit down, you have a discussion, you try to listen, you got to listen to the other side. You have to be willing to see the other side and understand it's going to be different than yours. You got to be able to do that and hear it and go, okay, I can see using your facts and your history and your knowledge, how you connected those dots. Now, that's not how I would have connected it because I have different facts, thoughts, and feelings, but I can understand using your thoughts, feelings, and experiences why you did that. So I'm always ready to do that. And then let's figure out your side, my side, and let's figure out where they differ. That's like a puzzle to me. And guess what? Nobody else thinks like that. And I'm now trying to figure out if I'm wrong. Am I broken? There must be something very, very wrong with us, right? In the immortal words of Stripes. And it's just messing with my mind. Now, granted, my dad not knowing me, pass. My brother, I've reached out to him. He said 4 words to me. Sorry, I'm sorry about your loss, about my dog. That was huge. I haven't had any contact with my brother. I've left him messages. He was in this huge car wreck. I said, if you need anything, please call me. You know, and I've left him a birthday card, nothing. I am dead to that part of the family. My aunts called me, my cousins called me, but it's weird to go like, well, damn, I'm dead. And apparently, again, going back to I want to make an impression, apparently I didn't make much of an impression because they just wrote me out of their life. And it's not that I was an integral part of their life, like they couldn't live without me, but it's weird when people live without you and you're still here. That is quite the mind F word. It's hard to not let your self-esteem just evaporate. And so it's got me in a state where I'm just ready. I'm going to work on a new skill and it's called shutting up because I feel like everything I say is wrong. Everything I do is wrong. And when I'm trying to help, apparently maybe I'm not, I don't know. So I'm trying, you know, in some cases with people. I'm asking questions to understand their point of view better. It's a Stephen Covey thing. Try to be understood, or try to understand before being understood. So I ask a lot of questions. I want to understand why you did this. Now, the problem is when you try to understand what somebody did, it's very easy to invalidate their feelings. And I'm not, I want to understand why you did that. I'm not saying you were wrong to do that. I want to understand why. I get that. That's me seeing that side of the story. But please understand my intentions are good. I'm just, let's have a discussion. And it's just bizarre. And I guess I'll just leave it at that. It's just business. Nothing personal. Wow. Hang in there. It's gonna get better.